last couple of days have been kind of rough, so I thought, I text Father Brett and said, who's speaking today? And he said, I am, unless you want to. And I said, well, I need to. I need to punch back, kind of a kickback, right? Well, Lord, I just pray, thank you for your living, active, abiding word to us. Father, thank you for placing us into Christ, into his very life, into the very life of that he lives, Father, that you live and the Holy Spirit lives. Lord, where we can experience on this side of heaven, Lord, as a taste, Lord, we can experience you in your fullness, the kingdom of God. So I pray today, Lord, as we just talk about you, that we may be challenged, we may be encouraged, Lord, that you may continue to cause our thirst. Lord, you always come and quench our thirst with the rivers rushing out of us, Lord. So we ask you to open the eyes of our hearts, give us understanding, I pray. Thank you for your presence, in Jesus' name. I was kind of the Psalms today. I'd been there a little bit in Isaiah. Some I read this other day in Isaiah, just thinking about the Lord, where Paul says he opens the eyes of our to open the eyes of our heart because he has given us a spirit of wisdom, right, in Revelation. And out of Isaiah 11, this prophetic word about Jesus, a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, which is the house of David, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit, and the spirit of the Lord will rest on him, Jesus. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and the spirit of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So you have the spirit of the knowledge of the Lord and the spirit of the fear of the Lord, which is just awe. I think of just his awe and reverence and how amazing he is. He will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see. And it goes on about his ministry. Righteousness will be the belt of his loins. I was just spending some time with the Lord, and most of the time, you know, he either tells me where to turn or give me a page number, or I'll just open it up and I'll be right there, you know, where he wants to speak to me. Those kind of things are fun when you're seeking the Lord because, you know, he, as we say all the time, he doesn't hide things from us. He hides things for us, you know. And like a good parent, he likes to do that. He likes to play kind of like hide and seek, but he does things for us as we search things out. He reveals them to us, right, where we extract the precious from the worthless and where, you know, we glean from all these, this gold and all these cool things. So there's always something the Lord has for us, and we find as we seek him. As I was reading this, and this is out of Psalm, I was right around in Psalm 28, 29, 30, 31, right around there. The Lord just speaking to me about his strength and being my strength and my shield. About my heart, trusting in him, and with my song, I'll thank him. We talked about Isaiah 29 last time I spoke about how powerful the voice of the Lord is, you know, when he speaks, how important it is for us that we join our voice with what God is saying, what he believes, and we do that. That can just be earth-shattering and get things moving on our behalf, right? Psalm 30 is a really great one. And this is David, not really sure what time this was written in David's life. It was a time when he really sought and needed the favor of God, you know, because he went through that kind of rough spell there. He speaks these things about God. Oh Lord my God, this is out of Psalm 30. I cried to you for help and you healed me. You brought me up from Sheol or the netherworld, and you kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit. Your favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. By your favor, Lord, you have made my mountain to stand strong. Right at the end of this one, in Psalm 30, he says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth, and you've girded me with gladness. You know, sackcloth is what they put in time of, there's a time of, you know, weeping or sadness or, you know, repentance. They would put on, you know, tear their clothes and put on this sackcloth type of thing. But as you see this here, where the Lord turns a time of mourning into dancing and taking him from a place of where he's got this sackcloth in and puts on his, puts the gladness of the Lord on him. And he says, my soul shall sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, and I'll give thanks to you forever. Understanding that God never leaves us in a place like that, right? You're never in a continual place of mourning or a continual place of sackcloth wearing, right? In the ministry of Jesus, I was just thinking about that with, this is in Isaiah. And this is a continual ministry of Jesus. It's not like a prophetic thing about him coming and he would do these little things and then he would be in and out, right? And it's Isaiah 61, and anyone that's been to an ordination within the CEC, this is part of what they read, I think, sing over us. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is, again, a prophetic thing of Jesus. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners. The difference between a captive and a prisoner is sometimes a captive is something that you can't help, right? But a prisoner is something you sometimes can help because, you know, when you get yourself put into prison, you know, anyway. So there's liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners when we feel this way, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they'll be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And it goes on in verse 6 about us being called priests of the Lord and being spoken of as ministers of God, and that we'll eat the wealth of nations. Instead of shame, you'll have a double portion. Instead of any humiliation, you will shout for joy over your portion. And he goes on and talks about giving a double portion. So this is the ministry of Jesus and the continual ministry of Jesus, right? And you see here, while if you kind of... I love what Graham Cook always says. He always starts off with, you know, everything that God does, he does in relationship. He's a relational God. So as he invites us to this cool thing, as he's placed us in Christ and he's put us in, seated us in this heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right, where we're seated there. And Colossians 3 tells us to continually seek the things above, right? Since you have been seated with Christ in the heavenly places, it says, since that's where you are, it says continually seek the things above. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory, in his glory. And we know that his prayer, his earthly prayer before he left, was that we would be, always be, the And these are familiar passages out of John 17. The glory which you have given me, Jesus is praying to the Father, I have given to these guys, the ones who are with me. I and them and you and me, that they may be perfected in our unity. So the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. If you have loved me before the foundation of the world, and O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I've known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them, and I will continually make it known to them, so that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Real powerful word. Jesus praying that, Lord, I want these guys to be with me where I am, right? Looking, and they were all looking forward, or looking to the day of Pentecost, when actually that would happen. When he would now come live in us, but we also are now living in him. He indwells us. We are now indwelling him. We're all seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That just blows your mind, because how can you be in two places? One, well, that's pretty easy for God. He's everywhere, right? There's nothing for him. So meaning that we are in living in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. You know, I think Matthew calls it the kingdom of God, and Luke is the kingdom of heaven, or vice versa, one of them. Continually talk about the king, you know, the kingdom. We're in it. It's here. We're involved in that. But I was thinking about the Lord turning our mourning into dancing, and that scripture that says, "Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning." Right? And these are talking about real places where we can find ourselves on our journey with God when we encounter various trials. You know, I know a little bit about that. Various trials and tribulations, when it talks to us about considering it all joy, and those, it seems like a very backwards thing, you know. Consider it all joy. Let that be. That word, consider it all joy, right there, that means as like the chief thing, or like it really means like the like a chief of a tribe or something like that, where you're the main thing, right? Peter talked a lot about that. He says this. He said, to fix your eyes completely on the revelation to be brought to you of Jesus Christ, right? And he's talking to them in the midst of the fiery ordeal that they were going through. What they should do is fix their hope completely, completely on the revelation to be brought to them in Christ, right? And to gird their minds for actions, what he tells them. Gird your mind for actions, you know, because there's a battle, there's a war. So get ready, gird your mind for action. And but not just that, but fix your hope on the one who is hope, right? Why it's so important, there's the only way the Lord can turn my mourning into dancing, and where a shout of joy can come in the morning, is that my life is lived in His presence, right? The one who is joy, the one who is the fruit of the Spirit. And Psalm 16 comes to mind, you know. In His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore, right? That there may be a weeping, and there may be a things that we go through. When I was reading Isaiah 61, you know, giving a garland of praise, and that, because you can't stay in a spirit of fainting very long, right? It just exhausts you. Those aren't places that God has called us to continually live in, because no one can continually live in that, right? He's called us to live and experience His glory. Second Corinthians chapter 3, the very end of that, when it speaks that we are in God's presence, and the mirror is there too, all it can do is reflect, right? You got to put something in front of a mirror for a mirror to work properly. As mirrors, we reflect the glory of God. And you move from one glory to the next glory to the next glory, right? That's all relational, right? Glory is His presence. It's something I experience. It's my daily experience. You know, in Titus it says that the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to everyone. That word salvation means deliverance. So the grace of God has come to set me free and to set us free as we move in. So there should always be this progressing. Not that we should act like nothing is happening, you know, or not being able to say a word, or, you know, a word of faith, people's like that. You can't speak a certain word or say a certain thing, you know, or it'll happen to you. No, it's nothing like that. It's seeing things and hearing God speak to you from His perspective. That's the reason it's so important, because Bishop says this a lot, and he uses a lot. Y'all have been here for any period of time. When he's always talking about in everything, give thanks, rejoice. And both of those start with rejoice in the Lord, you know. If you remember that both the word rejoice and the word thanksgiving all come from the root word of grace, the grace of God. And it literally means, to rejoice in the Lord literally means to lean into God's grace. We've talked about that. Coming up from the wilderness. Who is this coming up from the wilderness leaning on their beloved, right? That's a picture of what the grace of God is, because it makes you lean into Him, right? Because He is your life, And if he's my life, then my experience will be who he is and what he experiences, which is fullness of everything, fullness of joy, right? Love, joy, peace, all those, the fruit of the Spirit, right? His presence when I'm there. And I'm and all that does is thanksgiving and rejoicing is I'm just getting the mind of Christ, a heavenly perspective over this thing, because all things are going to be summed up in Christ, right? He has already given us, Scripture says, he's already given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's ours. And as we spend our lives pursuing him and seeking him, in this world you are going to, we will have tribulation, we're going to go through things, but the things that are put on us during this time, the heaviness and the sorrow and the mourning are not supposed to be our daily companion, right? We may experience it for a moment, that Scripture says, for a night, that's a moment, right? But a shout of joy comes in the morning. Weeping may last for the night. It's supposed to be temporary. We understand that Jesus wept. He understands our humanity. You know, he reads Isaiah 61, after he comes out of the wilderness being tempted by everything the devil had for 40 days, day and night, everything thrown at him, right? He came out of that place in the power of the Spirit. I mean, he was tempted with everything that we are, every emotion that we have, every temptation that we have, every grief that we've had. And then he comes and he reads this, Isaiah 61, and he says, I'm here. I'm fulfilling this word. I'm fulfilling this Isaiah 61 word. And so I was just thinking about, just because I've had a few rough days, you know, and that can get discouraging after a while, you know. Perplexed, as Paul said, I'm perplexed but not despairing, right? You can be perplexed. But it's so important in those times for me that I'm also hearing what the Lord is saying to me, looking over and reading his promises, reading them out loud to him. You know, one thing I found that he really likes, kingship with him, that we're God, you've spoken and you've said, you know. And so the holy part of the Holy Spirit, you know, we've been talking about him being, he's a teacher, right? He's the helper. He will guide us into all the truth and everything. But he's also a comforter, meaning he takes the comfort of Christ, comfort of the Father, and then he comes and makes it real to me. And he comes and comforts me, right? And eventually by him doing that, he says, what will eventually fall off of me and be put on me as a garment of praise, right? Instead of this spirit of mourning and feigning and just being sad all the time, that's lifted off of me, right? Keeps me in his presence, right? I like the, Psalm 119, a couple of places in there, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now, Lord, I keep your word. You know, what the Lord used that affliction in David's life to bring him home, to bring him back to the place where he was created to be and to dwell and to live out of, right? So Jesus continues this ministry. His prayer for us is, Father, I want them to be where I am all the time. I want them to live in this place. And I found for me, even today, was not just facing the hard place physically, but, you know, watching others have to go through a really tough time and a hard time that causes real grief. And so, okay, God, you know, this spirit of heaviness has been on me a little bit too long here. It's weighing me down. Okay. I need you to lift this off. You know, this is what you do. This is your ministry and you love it. And that's how we become oaks of righteousness. You know, you've heard that before. You learn to stand in the wind by standing in the wind, right? Just communicating to you this, so how important that is, guys, that as we're moving in, I think this personally, I watch people happen to people. There's a personal moving from glory to glory, and there's a corporate moving from glory to glory. And we are on the move. Aslan is on the move in our personal lives, but also corporately together. right? Pray for each other. So if you find yourself in a situation where the spirit of heaviness, sorrow, sighing has been your companion, he's been there too long, right? So there's only one thing that can get shed of that, as Bill Darwin would say, and that's God's presence. Hearing from his perspective, seeing it from where he sees it, letting him speak, showing you his reality, right? And then what will happen is that morning will last for night, but then a shout of joy comes in the morning. And then he turns my morning into dancing, into praise. That's just incredible. That's supernatural, right? So that's where we find our life, because it does tell us as we continually seek things above, we're going to find him. And then when we find him, it says, we will be revealed, the new creation. This person that's actually full of joy and full of peace. My joy I give you, my peace. Now, that means he gives us, it's all his, right? That's the place of exchange, right? You go exchange money, you go to a foreign country, you have to go somewhere to exchange your money, right? You want to exchange sorrow and sighing and sadness for his joy, peace, and dancing, then the exchange is in his presence, right? He'll make sure it happens. He'll make sure you get your heart's desire there, and he'll overwhelm you. Amen?